Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to your global rush hour. I've got Tomo in the house. G'day, Tomo.
Hello, Jazz.
That's the boy. Greg Blewett, hello to you.
Hello, pasty boy.
And Bernie Vince. Good to see you, young man.
You sounded surprised when you said my name, but good to see you too, Jazz.
And to our family. Welcome to another edition of your, well, your rush hour.
I didn't say
favourite. Hey, lots to get through. We've got 2 hours of, we're going to catch up with Darcy Fogarty from the Adelaide Crows.
We are.
Of course, we're going to talk to you after 5 o'clock.
Titus O'Reilly, Jars, is doing a podcast with Mick Molloy, and he delves into all the bizarre things of the world of sport.
Wow. Mm. He's a good man, too. He's one of your Melbourne supporters, isn't he?
He can whack the old D's when they don't go so well, but he's a typical D supporter, Jars. Jumps on and off the bandwagon when they're going well and when they're not.
Yes.
I might ask him about that, actually.
Shane McAdam sent straight to the tribunal. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. All right. Concerning.
It is very concerning.
Consistency is concerning that, for me.
Yes. Buddy should have got four for his hit.
Well, Cozzy should have got more.
And, Cozzy.
The AFL have the power to challenge that.
They can.
But I don't know.
But they won't, though. Not with Buddy. He's a love child of
Buddy
the AFL.
Should have got four. Buddy should have got... We'll talk about that later, but...
Two.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Cozzy, four.
I watched that hit. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. You're right.
We've talked about it three times. Why don't we just do it now?
Now, I need a little spot to have a chat. We'll take your calls, 133353. We've got the text line up and about.
0488 51047.
Thank you, Tomo. There's an issue in this team that needs to be addressed. All right, so I'll need a little chat for there. And what have you got? Have you had your teeth done?
Well, I haven't.
You're trying to hide them. You're
shutting your lips. I just clean them, Jars. Give it a go every now and then.
Do you think we should try and get our teeth whitened, all of us?
Yeah, let's do it. Three for one deal. You pay.
You pay and we'll get both get out for free.
And your pearly white teats.
Why don't we do that?
Teats.
Yes, Greg.
I'm interested in our phoner today as well. When have you been caught with your pants down?
What's happened?
Just after five. Well, Molly Meldrum. Is at it again.
Molly. I like your pants
around your feet. Good song. Creed.
So we'll have a bit of fun with that as well.
Who's that?
Was that Creed?
No. No. Nickelback.
Mm. Same things.
No, it's not.
We're good with music, are we?
Let's go.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour.
Fogarty brushes them aside, takes on Kerr, takes the line of the ball. Oh, don't you want to be him? How good is that?
I'm an old PAC boy, so if you need someone to open the batting and bowl a couple of overs.
No.
Adelaide Crows star, Darcy Fogarty.
Well, he's one of ours for 2023, and we love the way this young man is progressing in the AFL ranks. Good afternoon, Darcy. Welcome to the Rush Hour. We're a global.
Thank you. How are we?
Now, Darcy, Adelaide Crows, non-competitive in the second half. Why?
I think we just got beaten around the ball a bit. Not sure. I think it's a few things. We're a little disconnected between lines, and they were quite structured. And I think when things got tough, that held out like it usually does. So that's a work on for us.
A defensive pressure inside the forward 50 was pretty poor. Was that mentioned in the review? And I just read a stat, 18 tackles to zero in both forward 50s.
That's damning. That's a damning stat.
Not great. Was that mentioned?
Definitely mentioned and brought up a few times this week. So that's something we'll have a massive emphasis on this week going up against Richmond. That should never happen again. And it's obviously, like you said, not a good stat. So that's something we really need to work on. And that'll help other lines like it usually does. So that'll be a big focus for us going forward.
Fog, a lot of people are suggesting that was a game that you should have really won. Three-quarter time, take us inside the camp and what was the messaging?
It was pretty well like it is most games when it's an arm wrestle. It's we have to play our way. We don't want to go into full lockdown mode. We still want to win the game, so... We just needed to tighten some things up, which we unfortunately didn't do. They got the better of us in the last bit. But I think the message was pretty well, just keep playing our way, keep backing ourselves in. That's how we're going to win this game. And unfortunately, we fell away from that a little bit, which is a work on for us. We've got a young group. But that's the thing that has to happen if you want to have the goals of playing finals and winning games. You've got to be able to play your way for longer and beat teams doing it.
Hey, just getting back to that pressure inside the forward 50, was it after the review? Was it an attitude thing? Personnel? Was it setups? What did you put it down to?
I think it was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of attitude, obviously. You've got to have the right intent to be able to get tackles. That's all tackling is, really. It's a mentality. So we've got to be able to get our opposition. And that was probably the main thing that we saw. And we were probably just giving them a little bit too much space, and we weren't on the body as much as, or as close to the body as we should have been. So expect the heat this week to go up another notch.
Well, Das, I hope that's true, because this football club are on their knees. Three of their best players were out injured. They were five goals down at half time, and the boys just didn't turn up. Now, you've got to get that killer instinct in the group. You've got to become a great side. At the moment, it looks like an average side when under pressure.
Yeah, 100%. And that's obviously something that come up and something that we're trying to track. Well, yeah. Games are the ones that show it, but we're trying to train that as much as we can. We obviously have that intended training, and throughout the preseason, that's the things that we identified we need to work on. We've unfortunately lost a lot of close games in the last couple of years that cost us a bit, and that's something that we want to shake. And I think when we play our best footy, we do have that killer instinct, and yeah, that's just something we need to hold for a lot longer in games and finish them off, and those results start going our way.
36 degrees during the game. Tex said it was the hardest conditions he's ever played in. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it'd be up there for me. I didn't enjoy it.
How many kilos did you lose?
They said you lost 15 kilo in your legs.
15?
Walking about 70 kilos.
He was riding at bloody Geraldton on Monday.
Yeah, the club were happy with how I walked back in.
Should have tried that before you come back from pre-season.
Yeah. Hey, I might have to move up there in the summer.
Hey, Fog, of course the bump is in the headlines again, and you're a physical player. Like, what instinctively are you trying to sort of avoid some situations with a bump, or if it's there, it's there, and you just do it? What? How do you go about it?
I think it's there. It definitely enters the mind with how careful you've got to be and whether you should go at it 100 mile an hour. It's obviously like the punishment for it, as it should be, is high if you hit head. But it definitely does pop into the mind, and it sort of might make blokes hesitate a little bit whether they want to go hard at the body. But I think that's just the safety of the players has to be enforced, I guess.
Hey, some good pressure coming from underneath. Riley Filthorpe best on ground against Glenelg on the weekend. Chance to play?
Not too sure. I think, he definitely played very well. Him and Lockie Glant were the two forwards that played really well from what I've heard. And then I think Zachy Taylor also in the guts played really well. I think he was a little bit one out with a few of the other midfielders being a bit injured. So he was one out with a lot of top-ups. So he battled it out really well, and I think those boys really put their hand up and putting a good case forward.
Now, Fog, you've been sort of getting around town most of your career, most of your life since you've been drafted by Adelaide, pretty solo. I just happened to be at the airport on Sunday, coming back from Melbourne, and I saw a lovely young lass pick the Fog up from the airport. I don't know, it might have been a sister, a cousin, a
auntie,
something. Can we please explain? But you did give her a little peck said, okay, we'll jump in here. Please explain.
Fog's got you again. He's got you again, Ben.
He had the lovely pick me up.
Off the market.
Yeah, he told us last time there was nothing.
Nothing kept denying
on.
It.
Well, that was a while ago. Things change.
Well, it was two weeks ago, you chunkhead.
I'm pretty sure it was the same one.
Now, they reckon it was that hot Fog over there that your lips lost weight.
Come back looking starved. Well, I didn't like it. I was going to retire after that.
Mate, well done front up, but you've got to bounce back against Richmond. This will not be an easy game, so boys have to show some fight and put the flag in the ground, mate.
100%, and hopefully a lot of people come out. First home game at Adelaide Oval, so it should be good. It should be a better match.
And if you want to hide you're the last from everyone else, make her park up on level 4 where no one is.
Don't do that. There he is. Crows lover, Darcy Fogarty on the rush hour.
Lover boy.
Disturbing news has filtered through to my agency in the last 48 hours, family, regarding an individual in this studio called Greg Blewett.
Middle name?
AKA Fungus Teeth. a.k.a. cricket lips, a.k.a. white teeth, a.k.a. hairy legs, a.k.a. hairy plums, a.k.a. hairy forearms, and one eyebrow.
And shaves his legs.
Okay.
Yesterday at 10:16 a.m, Jars, I have something for you. So, Cricket Teeth finally has bought a squidgy thingy to clean the windows. I'm sending you, Jars, the video. Embrace yourself for what happens, and the audio must be, it must be embarrassing for you as you discussed it with Greg how to clean windows and how to do it. Is that correct, Greg? Greg, is that correct?
I spoke to you about cleaning the windows on the weekend. Yes.
You did, right.
Hey, did now, you, Greg?
Now, Greg, there you are cleaning your windows. Now, I'm going to get this posted so the family can see this embarrassing performance on cleaning windows.
What's happened? At least he's having a crack, Charles.
Exactly.
What did you say? That he's having a what?
Having a crack.
I thought, yeah. Now, Greg, please describe your ability to clean the windows with a squeegee. And I told you about the paper towels to clean on the side of the windows.
And you got a special brew for that.
I beg your pardon?
I used paper towels.
Yeah, you did. Good boy.
Don't you have a special mix for that, Charles?
I've got my own mixture.
Well, I had a spray.
You had a spray. I could see the spray here with the video. And this is the second window he progressed to. Honestly, he was actually starting to fatigue because the first window took a bit. Took him an hour in the sun to clean.
The windows are big.
Greg, they're not, mate, I could do that in 5 minutes, your window. You reckon that took you an hour?
Not that window. That was the last one
Greg.
I did.
Greg.
It is hard.
Now.
That's a hard job.
Describe to Bernie and Tomo and our family out there and our global family what happened when you finished that last window.
Can't be that I cleaned the window,
and
is it?
And your wife took a video of you.
I slipped and I fell in the pool.
No. So, did you?
Yeah.
You've gone in.
No, I'll tell you what actually. He's gone, tell you what happened.
Gone in the water.
The first window I did, I thought, oh, geez, I'm getting close to the edge. And then I was a bit fatigued by the time I got to the last window.
And the sun was getting to you.
But the handle of the squidgy sort of went into my chest as I was turning the corner and sort of pushed me.
You got knocked over by a squidgy.
You got knocked around by a squidgy.
And then you know what, Jars? I went, that is it. I'm not.
Uh-oh. What's this?
It's the video, family.
Oh, it's on video.
It's on video.
The whole thing's
we'll
on video.
Hey,
it's like living with the paparazzi. So she just films everything. And she's going, you missed a bit there, and she's filming it.
Oh, this is great.
Seriously.
Good, Catherine. Thank you, Catherine.
Catherine.
Keep doing it.
It is hard.
I can see you. Get someone in that's a professional. Pay up.
I have in the past. She's gone a bit tight on
you
me, Catherine.
You fall in a bag and you fall in your swimming pool when you're trying to clean your windows.
Anyway, no, that was it. Did I tell you that?
What's happened?
Well, that was the last window and it's half cleaned.
I saw some vision as I ran out of time.
The guests were coming over. So it's just I'm leaving like until the professional comes around.
Do we have a wallet or phone in the pocket?
What do we have,
no, luckily.
Oh,
no.
Bugger.
How do you fall in a swimming pool?
Honestly.
Well, sorry.
You know,
accidents happen.
Stick to the golf course.
Yeah.
Let us men do the real stuff around.
Okay. Well, I'll get out in that golf course tomorrow morning.
Get a real man in for the job.
Skinny legs.
Well, come around and do it for me, Bern.
Well done, Gleg.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Gleg.
This is the Raj Hour. Bern, you got some news for
us. Yeah, some breaking news. The tribunal hearing for Shane McAdam is underway. And the first thing here in the blog is that Shane McAdam does not accept the characterisation of the charge and will be contesting all elements of the charge. Mm. All elements. Yeah. So he's going the full...
Yeah.
Not me.
No.
Not guilty, basically.
All right, good luck.
So they're contesting all of it. So normally you try and downgrade one of the...
Yeah.
From reckless or down to reckless.
Well,
I think he's severe though, wasn't he?
It was severe.
That's the top of the range.
That was brutal.
He didn't need to do it.
Mm. Lay a tackle. But anyway, we'll keep you updated with that, family.
Let's do this.
Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters. 60 seconds on the clock. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 Minute.
Good afternoon, Amanda from Smithfield. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, we're well. Who's your footy side?
Oh, Crows.
Oh, you got any advice for Nixie and the boys for this week against Richmond?
Oh, start off how you did on the weekend, but stick to it the whole game.
Oh, like a bit of consistency, yeah. Amanda. Like it.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
Yep.
And what do you do for a job, Amanda?
I work for a hardware store.
Right. Now, we have a chunkhead in this studio who can't clean windows. Any advice?
I need squidgy. A decent squidgy.
I've worked there, but it doesn't mean I know a lot.
That's a bit like Jars here.
Is it now?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, now, Amanda, so we gave away $1,000 yesterday. We want to do it again now.
Yep.
You've got 10 questions, 60 seconds. Say pass if you don't know. And we'll always take your first answer. Are you with us?
Yes. Yep.
Right, and listen carefully because the boys are up and about. Are we ready to play?
Yep. Let's go.
What Adelaide Crows player has been sent straight to the tribunal for a high bump?
Shane McAdam.
What does MVP stand for?
Most valuable player.
Who is the current coach of the Melbourne Demons men's team?
Played for Adelaide.
Shane Goodwin. Simon Goodwin.
How many AFL teams are based in Victoria?
Eight.
What is Adelaide United's home ground?
Highmark Stadium.
What number draft pick was Riley Thilthorpe selected at in the 2020 draft?
Three.
Who is currently the number one ranked men's tennis player in the world?
Carlos Alcaraz.
What was Greg Blewett's top test score, 99, 114 or 214?
99.
Who won last year's NRL premiership?
Sydney Rooster.
What number does Darcy Fogarty wear for the Adelaide Crows?
32.
Amanda, that's a great effort.
Really?
You know what? Well great done.
That was
well
good.
Done.
That was good.
Well
this
done.
This is good.
All right, Tomo, let's go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
Brilliant.
That's pretty good. That was some tough ones. Always tough after a win, someone winning the day before.
Great effort, Amanda. We're going to send you up to Oakbank Races. Double pass up here. This would be brilliant. Local wine, food, oakbankracingclub.com.au. Enjoy that.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for your help. Okay.
Now, are you eating?
No.
Just minty? Chewing on your cud or something.
Have you got a minty?
Camel.
Can I be honest with you?
You're a camel.
Question 2 and 3, I was preoccupied with the Shane McAdam information. I don't know if she got them right or wrong.
Got them both right. Yes.
Yep.
She got both of them right.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, well done, Amanda. Now, number 4, Boone.
Number 4, there are 10 teams.
That's it, Ben.
Based in Victoria. And how many outside?
And number 8. No, there's 8.
6-6. He's gone
6-6. 6-6-6.
Number 6, please, Bert.
Number 6. Thilthorpe was picked number 2 after the Crows went for Yugal Hagen.
Let's
the boy watch.
Let's make sure he's playing this week against Richmond Adelaide Oval, all right?
And let the boy
watch. Number 8, please, Burn.
Number 8. He made 99 a lot,
he did.
But it wasn't his top score.
No.
214. He fluked 214 one day.
Who's that against, Greg?
South Africa,
Andrew.
Where did you make that, here or over there?
Overseas.
Johannesburg?
In tough conditions?
Yes.
Was it hot? Were you bothered?
Green seamer.
How was it spending all
day? Probably the best attack in the world at the time.
Was. How was it spending all day with Steve Waugh?
Yeah, how'd you go?
He bored me that day.
Did he have his pink little bloody handkerchief?
He did.
Number 9, Greg.
Number 9?
Yep.
Still thinking about 214. Who was last year's NRL premiership? Who won it? The Penrith Panthers.
Yeah. Nah, nice.
Next, we're going to give you an update about
still on
McAdam.
Yeah. I've just some more information's come through, Byrne. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, so the Crows have spoken with Dr. Bassam Moses, who's the Giants club doctor, and received an expanded explanation of Jacob Weir's treatment. So they're checking to see if his head was involved. So I don't think it was. He got him in the chest, but he's copped a bit of whiplash. The Crows are asking to have it submitted as evidence, but there's pushback from the AFL given
it
involves evidence from Weir.
They want him. They want him.
They want to take him down.
They're going to take him down.
We did something on names last night. Bassam would be right up there.
Bassam. Dr. Bassam Moses. Like it.
Now, obviously, Shane McAdam's fronting the AFL tribunal, obviously with his hit on that young GWS player, young Weir. Now, Byrne, and Tomo made a very good point off air. The AFL focus too much on the outcome and not the act.
Yep.
Is that fair to say?
Yes, they do. Well, they pick and choose depending on what
pick and choose suits, is a good word.
Suits them. Because they've gone on the outcome with Cozzy Pickett.
Yep.
And they're going on their act with Shane McAdam, if that makes sense, because he didn't actually injure his head. You know, I don't know.
We're trying to deter players of bumping because of all these class actions that are coming. Millions and millions and millions of dollars in compensation to these past players. And yet there's three players that aren't reading the memos.
No.
And the AFL, they stuffed up on Buddy's 1 week suspension. I saw that five times when I was watching some of the footy shows last night. Five times. Buddy's shoulder collected.
Smacks him.
Smacked him fair right in the head, Greg.
Both of them should have been doubled.
That shoulder blade.
That is a that's a weapon in itself.
That's a hard
and
thing
we know
to hit.
About Pickett.
He should have been doubled. He should have had four. And so, Franklin should have had two at
least. So that's why the AFL have gone, Shane McAdam, we're taking you straight to the AFL because we're going to throw the book at you.
Right, so they're in there now, Jazz. I'll just give you a little update on how things are going. So McAdam is contesting all elements of the charge. So he's contesting everything, saying he's not guilty. Yeah. Giants club doctor was involved explaining Jacob Ware's treatment, so he didn't get any treatment to the head. Yeah. Crows are asking to have it submitted as evidence, but the AFL have pushed back on that, saying they don't want that because it involves where. The Crows have got a biomechanics expert in, and he's concluded that it's not a significant head contact. So it's not, and they've accepted that. So, but the AFL are saying now it's the potential of causing injury. So that's where they've...
It's blurry.
Very blurry.
Did you see? That's what the impact
that was
when
huge.
Both of the obviously the perspiration just it was like a whiplash. When you see a boxer in slow motion, boxer make decent contact with someone's head, exactly the same thing happened. But thank God he's all right. But for me, I'm a bit the same. Like I watched that and I think what was his intention at the time? Was
it to bump?
Yeah, but it looked like it was to hurt him.
It really was.
I don't know what he's going to.
And you're opened up. You are open when you're like that. And going to Cozzy Pickett's one, Bailey Smith had just kicked it, so you can't be more open because you're concentrating on something else. He chose to bump. And, like, don't get me wrong, that go back even just 5 years, 6 years, seven years.
We would have been like,
how good's that? He's hard. Yeah. But things have changed. The landscape of the bump and head knocks have changed completely. It's no longer tough to clean someone up. Now, we've all played when it was like that.
He was frustrated, McAdam. He was struggling to find them. I know he kicked the couple early. He was up and about.
He probably copped a cook from the coaches saying, oi, get your head over the footy and start playing some hard footy. And he's just got a little bit frustrated and gone, I've been in that position. I know exactly how it is.
Yeah.
But he's just, it's a tough one to gauge.
But are we going to be happy? Sorry, Bernd. Are we going to be happy with the consistency here? Because you would think that McAdam's going to get at least 3 weeks if he goes to the tribunal
and
Pickett gets two.
Yeah.
Like, where's the... They look pretty much identical to me.
Oh, very
similar. And both players sort of
Pickett's actually probably worse, Greg, to be honest.
Because
Pickett jumps off the ground, bumps him in the... He actually gets his head. Whereas McAdam actually gets him in the front, or up the front. Doesn't actually get
dangerous.
His head. Bit of whiplash.
And the foot in his hand.
No actual contact with the head. Mm. So Pickett's is a lot worse for mine. Mm. But that's why I don't understand this one going to the tribunal.
They're making a statement out of McAdam where it should be the other way around.
Yeah, it actually should be. But
Absolutely. So we'll keep you updated.
Look, we're going to do calls with Molly Meldrum, but our text line and our phone line has just been blowing up. So we're going to take your calls on the McAdam situation here. What do you think about it? 133-53. A lot of texts coming through. I'll start with reading just a couple here.
Yeah, go.
One game, this is Watto from Victor Harbour, one game for 120-kilo giant like Buddy with a shoulder to the face. And then the other guy, which I think he means Cozzy Pickett, throwing his whole body with his feet leaving the ground with intentions to kill and only getting two. Mm. If Shane gets more than two, I'm ripping up my AFL membership and following another sport.
Buddy should have got 4 weeks for that. He's been getting away with that
He should have
honestly
got more
been
than
a great
one.
Player, jeez. Don't get me wrong, but he's always looking for someone.
Yeah.
He's just and that was a weak decision by the AFL.
Another one here from Jake. I'm a Port supporter and I hate the Crows, but for me, McAdam's bump was a good old-fashioned shirt front. He left the ground but didn't hit the head. Yeah. Good whiplash with a touch. Was a touch late, but I think the good old-fashioned shirt front, that's gone. You can't be saying that anymore. You can safely say done. You have to bump with. You almost have to have the ball in your hand. If someone's coming to tackle you, then you charge them. But
do you believe that the AFL tribunal, Greg and Byrne, that they'll make McAdam the scapegoat? They'll throw the whole book at him.
I'm concerned because I'm concerned with the other two. Mm.
Can they revisit that?
They can challenge it. The AFL can challenge the tribunal.
Or the
even
MRA.
Though they're sort of in bed with each other. I think the Pickett one is worse than the McAdam one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's Pickett being a little player, small player.
Yep.
I think he's been very lucky. Because if he was any bigger or stronger, if he was McAdam's size, say, a bit thicker, he could have knocked Bailey Smith out for a minute. That was a big, everything you can do wrong, he did wrong. Mm. 133.53. What do you think McAdam should get?
Have the AFL...
Well, handle this whole reporting of the bumps over the weekend. Have they handled it well? Because lots of people are talking about it, the inconsistencies. We know we've got to protect the head, but have they handled this well?
With all the concussion chat as well last week, all the
mate
in court and the 200 players that have signed up, and this is how the AFL have responded. It's actually remarkable.
Yeah.
So the Crows are arguing right here on the live feed that this is clearly not a high bump because it doesn't involve the head at all, is what they're trying to bring to the table.
Which, you know what, to be fair, is true. Mm. He doesn't actually hit his head, but it's the act, isn't it? It goes past the ball and it's high impact.
They focused on the outcome, though, Bird. They always focus on the outcome.
Well, the outcome is he played on, so he should get none then if we're doing that. Yeah, 133.53. How have the AFL handled the three bumps from the weekend? Because there's been some very inconsistent reports from all of them, and McAdam's still in at the tribunal. Jarz, you said something off air just then. I need repeated.
Well, I think there's so much grey area in regards to the AFL's decisions, but also the bump. You know, they don't even know. I don't think they understand. They're still. We want it with these class actions in the last two or three weeks. It is just. Basically spooked the AFL competition, and they knew it was coming, but it's rattled their cage.
Yep.
All right. Now, those decisions ain't going to deter any other players moving forward. That 1 week to Buddy, which was a
nice.
That was a terrible hit on that player, that Gold Coast. And we talked about Pickett, and now we're talking about McAdam. Three situations over the weekend. Grey areas everywhere.
What the AFL need to do
by
then?
The AFL will make a decision. Draw a line in the sand. No more bumping. Bumping is going to be banned. I can't believe I'm saying this, but this class action's not going to, mate, it's not going to go away.
No.
There's going to be more and more and more and more players coming out, Greg, because of what's happened to them in the past.
Have they got three more players that will do class action after they finish because of the weekend?
There's grey areas everywhere. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, lots of calls to get through. Rebecca from Salisbury Downs, welcome. Rebecca, how do you think this has been handled over the weekend and now with the tribunal?
I think it's absolutely disgusting, and I can't believe he's actually going to the tribunal, and I'm by no means a Crows supporter whatsoever.
Yeah.
I actually follow the Blues, and it just blew me away when I saw that. I'm like, well, hang on a second. The other two looked worse than what he did.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, this was their chance. This was the AFL's chance. Round one.
Yep.
Right, man. Anyone who bumps, anyone who hits their head, just scrubbed out.
Yep.
Nah. They had that chance right from the word go, and it happened three times, the three instances that we're talking about.
Yep.
And they stuffed them all up.
Yep.
Nah, great call, Rebecca.
Let's move on to Bradley from Glengarry. What are your thoughts? How have the AFL handled this one?
G'day, boys. How you going?
Very good.
I was at the game on Saturday night where Cozzy bumped Smith, and I didn't really see McAdam hit on where, but I've seen a replay now, and if both of those blokes were to get carried off on stretchers, I personally think that Pickett probably looks at 5 to 6, and McAdam's probably a 4 to 5er, because Pickett left the ground, and I had a pretty good view of it, and it was a fair, surprised Smith got straight back up, to be honest.
Yep.
It was... I think the Crows supporters have every right to be filthy about McAdam going to the tribunal when Pickett didn't go, because I think it should personally be vice versa.
Nah, great call, Brad.
But, Bern, aren't they saying in their defence that there was no contact to the head in both situations?
That's what the Crows are trying to argue.
Yeah.
They're trying to say there was no contact with the head, but then the whiplash, Greg, he almost folds up around him. That's a big
hit. They're very, very lucky that those two players got up.
If they are,
not so much where he took, he got stung.
He got hit up the middle.
But Bailey.
Bailey Smith.
He's basically saved Pickett from getting, say, another 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, but because they didn't get a hit to the head. That's why they got up. That's the whole argument with the whole thing.
Correct.
I'm not saying there's also great with their actions.
The protocol as well with players that get hit. If they're wobbly or stay down, Jars, they have to go off for 15 minutes and assessed. And if they're seen to not be able to play, they miss next week as well.
12 days.
So that's why players are getting up quicker now. That's what I'd be getting up for.
All right, let's hear from Jenny from Trot Park. G'day, Jenny. What are your thoughts on this, please?
Yeah, this ridiculous discussion comes up every time there's a heavy bump.
Yep.
Just ban it. Make it illegal. And if you choose the bump, you get an automatic 4 or 6 week suspension and they won't do it.
Don't mind that. It's black and white then, isn't it, Jenny?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep.
And because coaches now encourage their players to tackle.
Yeah.
It's better to tackle because you create turnover with the player ball in hand. Bumping now, good players will get bumped.
We can dodge
and keep playing on and just move. Yeah,
roll off it.
It's better to try and tackle to create a turnover.
But how do you tell the difference between a bump and a football collision, Jazz?
Yeah, and then,
it happens,
you know, like
so
if you're
quick.
Bracing,
yes.
You know what I mean? You know, the impact's coming and you brace. Is that, you know?
It's so hard to, like, if that ball's bouncing in front of you, Jazz, I'm coming at the ball and you're coming at me. I know it's hard to, but I'm trying to describe this for you listening. If it's coming at me and the ball, our ball's not perfectly round. Mm. So it can be closer to me to start with. I'm thinking I'm going to get it. It bounces your way. Mm. You get it first. I'm smashing into you. I protect myself and I'm in the bumping motion.
Yeah.
I hit you up the front. That can't be automatically 4, can it?
No.
If we put a line through it, like Jenny just said.
Yeah. That's a footy
I've
incident.
Thought about
it. It's just a footy.
And this is like, it's like, I'm going to get the footy, bang, that, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And you're like, geez. Mm. And you look back and you go, oh, no, he's on the ground. Mm. Did I get him high? Did I have my arm up? Mm. Did I bump? Did I I don't know. And it happens so quick. To put it in perspective for people that haven't played, it's hard. But McAdam did have a split second to think about it.
He did.
His is different. Yeah. I'm not saying had a, you know, he had a little bit of time. He thought, I'm going hard.
And in that split second, he went to go harder.
Yes,
instead
harder.
Of the other way.
Correct. Drove through. Yeah. So, let's go to Hayden from Alberton. How do you think the AFL's handled this one, mate?
Extremely poorly. I think this goes to show that the AFL care more about ratings and bums on seats than they do about player health.
Yep.
Because if they cared about player health, Buddy Franklin would have been rubbed out for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yep.
They care more about having Buddy Franklin playing so people go and watch him or watch him on the telly than they do about rubbing him out. If they were to rub him out, it would actually send a message to the entire league that, hey, these types of actions are not on.
Yep. Mm.
Spot on.
That's
Hayden.
A very good call.
There's been some excellent calls.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated. Calls. Thanks. And plenty of text messages coming through.
Oh,
so
heaps.
Really appreciate your calls. Can I have a prize for Jenny, Trot Park, please?
Absolutely. Jenny, are you there? Jenny? No, she's not there.
Doesn't matter if
she's not. Anyway, we're going to send you off. You and three mates. This is gold class, if you don't mind. The screening of air, Jenny, all yours.
Oh, thank you very much.
No worries.
Good stuff,
good on you, Jenny. Hey, just a quick text here too, Jars. Yes, this one's for you, and I'm involved. But, hey, boys, if the bump is dead in the game, does that mean we have to change our name for our Tuesday podcast, The Bump?
Oh, of course.
Can we just get rid of that?
You guys love doing it. I beg your pardon?
You guys love doing it.
The only one that loves doing it is Roo, because Roo wants to talk about himself. Red.
Next guest likes to explore the bizarre.
Ancient Romans had a form of boxing. They would wrap their hands and forearms with leather straps and it would be studded with metal shards.
How many rounds did they go?
They'd battle to the death.
Oh, to death, was it? Romans. All the old-fashioned, but those were the days.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour, the co-host of Sports Bazaar, now available on the listener app, Mr. Titus O'Reilly.
Good afternoon, superstar. Welcome to this global Rush Hour. Are you there?
I'm here.
Well, you're fighting ancient Romans, are you?
I was trying to pick something from mixed use.
Mate, welcome to the show, and obviously very exciting to have you on board and chatting about your new podcast show. Now, we're just talking off air. Greg Blewett, being a wonderful Australian cricketer, where did you bat as a young man playing cricket for your neighbourhood?
Oh, I grew up in Eltham in Melbourne, so they'd hide me as much as possible. They'd put me even after the bowlers. That's how bad I was.
What, 12th man's? Mix the cordial.
Did you?
Hey, Sports Bazaar, talk us through that. What's that involve?
Yes.
Well, each week I try and find the strangest story from sport and tell it to Mick. You know, we decided to do a podcast, and credit to Mick, he said yes to it before he knew what a podcast was.
So where do you, I'm interested in how you research this sort of stuff. So you're doing all the legwork, obviously.
Mick can do nothing.
And then Mick just comes in with a couple of special comments, does he?
Basically, that's it, you know. And he sort of acts as the foil to work out what the hell's going on, you know. And I like to find stuff that, you know, you just wouldn't know. So, you know, even in a story, you know, like one of my favourites in doing research was, you know, about Dennis Rodman becoming friends with Kim Jong-un. You know, which everyone sort of knows that vague story, but I thought, how did he actually become friends with Kim Jong-un? Like, that's the interesting, how did he end up in North Korea in the first place? And I found out that his agent, and this just shows you need to have an agent that knows what he's doing, his agent said yes to a gig in Korea. And then on the way there on the plane, another of Rodman's friends said, can I see the itinerary? And he said, yeah, sure, here it is. And he said, this says Pyongyang. And the guy said, yeah, that's in Korea. He says, yeah, that's in North Korea, not South Korea. Oof. And the agent said, are there two different Koreas?
No.
Nah, so you go all the way from the cricket pitch, the footy field, swimming pool. I don't know whether that's a strength of the mix, but table tennis is there. What's the most bizarre sport?
Oh, they're all bizarre. I think you get a lot out of snooker's actually a great one. You know, there was a great guy called Jimmy White.
Yes.
They played in the 80s. Mm. Good friends with Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. Mm. And one day he had a party in Dublin and it went for 17 days. And every day, UB40 and Thin Lizzy joined the party and it had just people coming into the hotel every single night and they were getting sent 20 bottles of Dom Perignon every day.
Wow.
And then he decided after 17 days he better go home, you know, he'd better go back home to his wife. So he got on the plane, flew back to London, got a taxi to his house, opened the door, took one look at how angry his wife was, got back in the cab, went back to the airport, flew back to Dublin, arrived back at the hotel and said, I'd like to check back into my room. And she said, well, the woman on the desk said, well, you could, but you never checked out.
Brilliant. Still going.
Brilliant. What a party.
Oh,
hey, Sports Bazaar, your first episode's out now on the Listener app, of course, and you cover off some ping pong. Can you give us a little teaser on what's on there?
Oh, dear.
Well, table tennis is one of the weirdest sports of all time. You'd think it was kind of a really easygoing and not dangerous sport at all. But one thing they do in table tennis is they apply really strong glue to their rubbers, and the more that, you know, to glue that rubber bit onto the paddle, is the stronger the glue is, the more it expands the rubber and you get more spin and speed coming off it. So they all get the most potent ones ever. And it became such a problem that at one tournament, a guy knocked over his glue and his opponent passed out from the fumes.
We're chatting with Titus O'Reilly. Titus, have you got anything bizarre through AFL football? Now, I know there's a story going around in Stansbury regarding Bernie Vince back in the day playing for the Adelaide Crows. He won a cricket grand final and then was seen standing on a chair singing a club song in his jocks and a helmet on his head. Is there something in that?
Minus the jocks.
I'm sure there's a whole episode in Bernie about the track. Might be a five-parter.
He told me in. I've got some stuff on Andrew Jarman too. Hey, how about your beloved Melbourne Footy Club at the moment? Four first-choice players out of the team. Belted the Western Bulldogs. There would have been cheese platters and speak of Dom Perignon, there'd be everything going on.
That's
Are we winning the flag?
There you go.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, even more important than the victory is we just signed on Grange as a sponsor. I mean, we're really leaning into that stereotype, aren't we, you know?
And when do the MCC and all your buddies go to the snow mid-year to go and have a holiday?
Crowds dip.
Well, people often say to me, you know, when we were looking at missing finals in the past, people say, time to rent the chalet, Titus. And I'd say to them, rent the chalet. I'm a Melbourne supporter. I own the chalet. You don't need to rent it.
Oh, you're a superstar, mate. Well, no. Thanks for sharing that with us. All the best with Mick Molloy. Sports Bazaar podcast is coming to listener. Thanks for joining us, mate, and we'll chat again.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Titus O'Reilly, diehard Melbourne supporter. Oh, I think he was one of your favourite players, Ben Ben.
Yeah, he was one of my favourite players too.
I'm confused. What?
Elmac Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scene. Specialist in all industrial and commercial cleaning requirements. Call 1-800-4-ELMAC. Here
comes Bernie Facts. Interesting. Here comes Bernie Facts. This is unbelievable. It's incredible.
It's time now for Bernie Vince's Final Facts.
Getting some really good feedback on this segment, Jazz. Just to let you know, have you been getting any?
No.
About anything you do?
Not at all.
No, I wouldn't have thought you would. Were you listening? You weren't listening because you were watching the Crows highlights, which there weren't many of.
No, I think he's asking about the feedback, aren't you?
What feedback?
See, he wasn't listening.
Bernie's getting good feedback.
On what?
This segment, he said.
And why?
I don't know.
What's happened? What's changed? Oh, I don't go, oh, g'day, buddy, what's going on? You know, educate us or what's fun facts? Is that because I'm not saying it?
Both times you've repeated what you... Normally,
no,
do,
I'm not so saying anything anymore. Anyway. You had a crack at me yesterday in the fun facts.
No, so I didn't. I just said there was something different.
If you don't want me to participate, let me know and I'll move on.
You just wasted 30 seconds of this segment.
Sorry, Bill.
And we don't have that long.
Let's go.
Hey, March 21 today. Getting through March quickly, aren't we? Jeez. No. Mad March normally. Mm-hmm. Is it still Mad March here? Nah.
Well.
Because we used to have the clips or the V8s now.
WOMAD's gone as well.
Well, the fringe was still on.
Fringe is done, isn't it?
It's Happy March.
Just. Happy March?
Yeah.
Not Mad March?
Not anymore.
So half Mad March.
Oh, if you want to call it that.
Quarter Mad. Anyway, World Down Syndrome Day today. Mm. So celebrating all the Down Syndrome people out there.
Beautiful.
We all know someone has been affected by that. And beautiful, beautiful people.
They are.
And
they are.
A lot of them at footy clubs too, which I love the footy clubs getting involved or getting around them. So well done to them. A birthday today, a great Brazilian striker. I'm going to play a few highlights. It might say his name early, but you guess him.
Ronaldinho takes and David Seaman's caught his line and Brazil take the lead.
He just disappeared.
Ronaldinho
what happened to him?
He had the long hair.
That's Ronaldo.
No, Ronaldo.
He had the long hair.
What do you say Greg says his name?
Is it Ronaldinho or Ronaldinho?
Oh, God, he's just slaughtered.
Have another go.
What is it?
Say it again.
You say it. Smarty pants.
Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho, is he?
Ronaldinho has scored.
Ronaldinho.
Yeah, Greg's right. You apologised to him.
No,
you said Ronaldinho.
Burn, you've just slaughtered it. Yeah, he apologised to Greg.
Ronaldinho. I think we both got it wrong.
Ronaldinho. I spelled it like that.
But did you hear the commentator?
Yeah, but they
he said it correctly.
Oh. Yeah, but they say, you said you didn't want to be involved. You just sit back over there by
Come
yourself.
Come on, what's next?
Hey, 1963.
Hello.
This place was closed for good.
Alcatraz was built.
Alcatraz.
To keep all the rotten eggs in one basket.
Yeah. I didn't say guess.
I was specially chosen to make sure that the stink from the basket does not escape. Since I've been warden, a few people have tried to escape. Most of them have been recaptured. Those that haven't have been killed or drowned in the bay. No one has ever escaped from Alcatraz.
Been to Alcatraz?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you've been, Greg?
Yes, I have.
No, I've seen
unbelievable.
It.
Oh, I've
been
scary.
See it. You can see it.
Clint Eastwood starred in that movie, Alcatraz.
Yes.
And that warden played the king in Braveheart.
Yes. Good call, Jazz.
Is it cold? Is it, when you...
Depends on what time of year.
I know, when you're inside the jail, is it?
It is. It's a bit of a scary sort of chill as well.
There's a lot of ghosts in there.
Because they shut the gates and lock it up. And,
yeah, it took off.
And they show you where people cut through the walls and tried to swim back.
Sharks.
It's a long way to swim. Jeez.
There's a lot of ghosts in there,
it? Was closed because there was. Well, I didn't see any ghosts, but Jars might have been. He might have looked in the mirror.
That was in 87. I had a couple of that.
Very pasty when you...
Well, it was closed down because of the concerns of costs and how the prisoners were treated. Yeah. I don't think prisoners were meant to be treated well anyway. But anyway. Hey, on this day, 2006, the first ever one of these was sent. Do we know that sound?
Email.
No. Close.
Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, well Twitter done, message. Greg. The first ever tweet was sent by Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter,
nice.
At 9:50 on this day, and he wrote, just setting up my Twitter. Spelt T-W-T-T-R, a bit like the listener app, just to cut a few words out. Actually, you only cut two
It's hardly
out.
Used now, isn't it, Twitter? They hardly
well,
use
it's
it.
It's an information it's source.
Yeah.
I use it.
Off,
I use it.
It.
I use it for an information source, Jones. Right. Where do you get yours?
No, I get information by talking to people, eyeballing people, and meeting people.
Who did you eyeball today to get information from?
And what info was it?
I prefer not to say where I was today. Because he's a lovely
where
young
were
man.
You?
Right. I had coffee with a Sandford coach who's doing it. He's a terrific young man.
So you got all your information there.
Right.
Let's go.
Come on.
We're in for a big day, Greg.
Hey, we're up and about.
This day 2013, the world's largest postage stamp was released. It was the mother of Emirates stamp. And it's in the Guinness World Records. Wow. 1.36 metres by 1.77 metres. How the hell does that get on an envelope?
And how much?
It probably doesn't burn. It's just
You can't lick
thing.
That. How much are you going to lick that with your tongue?
How many?
And then slap
there's
on the
a
back
question.
Of an envelope.
What would you get to lick that?
Me.
A blue whale.
A blue whale.
Well, they've got a big tongue.
Yeah. Greg.
Do they have
you
a tongue?
Just, you know what you could do?
Greg, you'd cope well with your with your python tongue.
You could, you get out of the shower and just roll around on it.
No, I reckon before a shower when he's all oily after footy training.
Oh, so I'm a whale all of a sudden. I've gone from a postage stamp to an oil.
Yeah, you're more of a
whale.
Yeah, an orca.
An oil.
An oil. Come on, I've got to go in an oil. Oil. And take Maz out for tea.
I'm an oil. Hey, where are you going?
Just down the road.
Somewhere free.
Somewhere free. No,
I'm not. Hey, last one. On this day, 2019. Now, I want to get your interpretation of how this happened.
Yes, Ben.
2019, remember? A woman in Bangladesh gave birth to twins.
Yep.
1 month apart. Now, describe to me, Jars, first, how that happens.
I'm your brother, Julius.
That's the movie.
My name is Julius, and I'm your twin brother.
Well, obviously. The moment I sat down, I thought I was looking into a mirror.
Okay.
We're not identical twins.
Oh, no?
That's Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger and the twins.
No?
Right. One's up to about his hip.
This would be good.
Explain to me how that happens in the woman's
body. So the lady gave birth to the first twin.
Yeah.
And then... 28 days later.
Oh, was it
she
February,
gave
was
birth
it?
To the second
was
twin.
Was it February, was it?
Yeah, well, you said 2019.
No, guys.
That was the year, not the day. Shut up. I'll see you tomorrow.
No.
Shut up. So he just said, come on, I'm going for a run.
So he's explained by saying that, well, one came out a month early than the other one.
But he's gone February because he went 28 days instead of 30.
I'm going for a run around the uni loop.
Do you want to have a crack, Greg?
I'm tipping it was a fairly large woman.
Yeah.
Right? So the first twin was premature.
Yeah.
And then she just went into labour a month later.
The mother had two completely separate uteruses.
Oh, right.
Oh. Okay. So which I didn't even know was possible.
Well done.
What's a uterus, Charles?
I'll see you tomorrow, Bern.
It's not the thing that drives around on a farm. That's
see ya. You. Greg. See ya, Ruth. Triple M's Rush Hour.